Did y'all have a good one? Thank you for making it back. You're back, you're alive, you're here. Good to have you. My name is Robin Steele. I'm pastor here at Promised Land, and it's so good to gather together and worship with other believers. It's important to do that, so thank you for getting here. I know we have a lot of people that are still out of town. I want to welcome those that are watching online right now. You are just watching from wherever you could find us, on Facebook, our website, wherever you live, wherever you are. I also want to welcome those in Lockhart at the Jerry Ohlendorf Performing Arts Center. We love our Lockhart campus. Come on, let's give them a hand. Let's welcome them into our service today. Go tell it on the mountain. Are y'all telling it on the mountain already? If not, I'm glad you're here to hear this message today from the Bible about go tell it on the mountain. In the mid-1800s here in America, African Americans were enslaved. They were literally owned by plantation owners and business owners. And they faced brutal conditions 24 hours a day. You know, where they lived is where they worked. Where they worked is where they lived. And really, work is not a very good term for it. I mean, they did work, but it wasn't some voluntary thing. You know, it was forced labor, and they weren't paid for it. They were physically beaten, abused, mentally broken down, and sold as property. And what's incredible is in the midst of that, many of them found Jesus, and they brought their traditions from Africa and their song, their dance, their chants and different things that they had, but the plantation owners didn't want them expressing that in its fullness, so the slaves had to find ways to adapt that culture into what was permissible, and they began to sing while they worked in the fields, and they created basically a genre, multiple genres of music that come out of that, the spirituals that came out of those fields, and that's where we get gospel, black gospel music, and jazz, and the blues, and many, many, many influences have come from those fields. And many of them didn't know how to read, so the way that they would pass down from generation to generation was through songs and lyrics of songs. And not only did they pass down their theology through songs, but they would actually communicate through hidden messages in these songs, these spirituals. And so they would talk about escape routes, and they would talk about, you know, the Underground Railroad, and, you know, they would go from field to field, spreading the word from plantation to plantation, and just the fact that they were able to maintain any sort of cohesion and unity and presence of mind is completely incredible. They would sing about Moses and the Israelites being delivered from Egypt. They would sing about Joshua marching around Jericho and delivering that city as well. And then historians believe sometime around the Civil War from 1840 to 1870, somewhere in that time, the slaves began to hum a rhythm and they began to sing the lyrics about the freedom of Jesus in this way. They would say, go tell it on the mountain. Come on, sing it with me. Over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. They would sing that as they worked in the fields, and it became the song that we sing today. Which a brilliant man in the early 1900s, a man named John Wesley Work III, I believe we have pictures of him, this amazing man took the lyrics of many spirituals and put them into paper form and organized the chorus and the verses and the melody and the music, and it is now this amazing Christmas carol that we sing, Go Tell It on the Mountain. But it has a lot of theology behind it. And I wanted you to hear the history behind it to know where it came from. The cry of a slave picking cotton in Alabama or Mississippi or anywhere in the South is really the same cry that the shepherds had in the fields in the very first Christmas. And so this message of go tell it on the mountain is that just that one sentence, that one phrase is filled with so much meaning. People, us, are given a directive to go. Go is filled with meaning. Get off your lazy tail and go to a place that is a mountain that is very prominent. A mountain is a symbol for something that's prominent. It's a place where the message can be heard. Jesus, when he said, if you want a message to be heard, it's like a candle. You don't put a lamp, you don't put a cover over the lamp. You don't do anything, but you put it up high where everybody can see it. And that's what this song was saying. Go tell it. Tell what? Tell the message of a Savior being born. Tell it. Go tell it on the mountain where people will hear the message. And so the slaves began to sing this incredible message, incredible rhythm and style. And it's the same message that Luke, the second chapter, tells us. It's, in fact, they used things from Luke, the second chapter, in the verses of this message. And really, it's the message that you and I should be expressing ourselves. Those of us that have come and encounter the healing presence of the Lord, the good news of Jesus Christ. I want to read to you Luke, the second chapter, the eighth verse. This is where this comes from. It says, that night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby. Now, let's stop there for a second. When we think about shepherds in the Christmas story, oh, it's so cute, it's so quaint, it's so romantic. You know, in fact, when you have Christmas plays or movies or whatever, they're these handsome men with amazing beards, and they've got their wool coat on, and, you know, they're just so clean and neat and pretty. That's not what it was like back in those days. In fact, there's many things that are similar to a shepherd and the way they had to live with the way this song came about and the people that sang this song originally. It says they were staying in the fields nearby. In other words, shepherds lived where they worked and worked where they lived, and they were a class of people that were very different from everybody else. So shepherds were staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. Think about how amazing that was. They were terrified, it says. They were scared when they saw this amazing, glorious thing in the sky. But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to who? All people. Now, this message from the angel is so important that I'm going to give you good news that everybody needs to hear because it's going to bring everybody great joy. Now, some of you have been around sermons, you've been around church, you kind of know where I'm headed with this message, but you're thinking, I know I need to say good things about Jesus. I need to go tell it on the mountain. But you don't know my aunt. You don't know my grandma. You don't know my coworkers. You don't know Texas State like I do. These people are mean. These people are crazy. These people don't want to hear it. But what does that verse say? The angel says that it's going to bring joy to all people. That's so important. Every human being needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, they may not receive it, but that's up to them. But all need to hear it. All need to hear it. All need to hear this message. So important. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. Now, remember, he's talking to shepherds. He's talking to shepherds. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. In a manger? Now, again, you've heard this story a million times. You've heard it every year of your life, and you've seen movies, and you've seen stories, and you've been to church, and you've heard Jesus was in a manger. Yeah, a manger. Yeah. But think about who he was talking to. He was talking to shepherds, and to tell a shepherd that your Savior is going to be sleeping in a manger, that's where the animals would have eaten their food in the home where they were. What an incredible message to these shepherds. He was speaking in shepherd language. This Savior is going to be one that is relative to you, that is connected to you, that has the same sort of environment as you. He's lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." Just an amazing array in the sky. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hear a message and they respond to it. Let's go. And let's see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. It says, they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was a baby. It was true. The story is true. The baby was lying in a manger. So look at the pattern here. God tells the angels to go make a proclamation. The angels are obedient. They go proclaim to shepherds about this message. The shepherds, what? They hear the message and they respond in obedience. They go and see this baby and are impacted. They are changed when they see Jesus. Then the next verse says, after seeing him, the shepherds did what? They told everyone. That's so important. The shepherds went on the mountain and told everybody. Go tell it on the mountain, shepherds. They witnessed the Savior of the world, and then the shepherds keep the cycle going. The shepherds told everyone what happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And look what happens. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. Isn't that amazing? That there is good news about a Savior. This Savior is real, and he's going to make an impact when you meet him. And then after you meet him, now you are to go and keep the cycle going. Go tell it on the mountain. Go tell it on the mountain. Wherever you go, proclaim what Jesus has done for you in your life. You don't have to tell them about anything that's happened anywhere else or try to be a Bible scholar, dissect the Hebrew or Greek or anything. That's not what the Bible's saying. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus is born. Jesus is born in your life. What has he done in your life? Now, it's hard for us, as I said earlier, to wrap our head around what a shepherd is, because all we have are these quaint little pictures of shepherds in our head because of stories that we've heard told to us in Sunday school. So I am going to tag team preach today with Pastor Terry K. Anderson of Lily Grove Missionary Baptist Church. He can say this way better than I can. Take it away, bro.
Some worshipers were changed. And not just worshipers in the temple or worshipers in a synagogue, but let's look closely at who came to worship. Shepherds. Dirt people. Shepherds were considered outcasts because they could not attend temple worship because of their menial occupation. Mm-hmm. They smelled of sheep. Mm-hmm. They were dirty outcasts. They were marginalized and unable to enter the temple precincts because of their lowly station in life. Nobody cared much to be a shepherd. Nobody cared much to be around shepherds because they smelled like sheep. Mm-hmm. They were dirty. They slept outside. They were ceremonially unclean. And the angel could have gone to Herod's palace and spoke those words to Herod the king, and Jesus could have been born in that palace behind those walls. But had he been born in the palace behind those walls, you and I would never have had access to him. God came to lowly shepherds, to dirty outcasts, to tell the world that you and I, lowly, dirty outcasts, are now included in the family of God. You won't shout much about that if you think you're more than you really are. You won't carry on too much in the worship about that if you've been to college and got money in the bank and drive a nice car and live in a fine house. You got a good job with high visibility, and you think you all of that, and a bag of purple hull peas. And the rest of us need this message of grace, and the rest of us need this message of salvation. But everybody in here today is a dirty, lost outcast, worthless, marginalized. And if God wanted to, he could have cut us off. You ought to watch people worship. Don't do it now because I'm bringing attention to it. But from now on, watch people worship in church. They take care who they sit by, particularly if they don't want to be around people who make a lot of noise. Because they didn't come to get all musty and all shook up. They didn't come here for their mascara to run.
Come on.
And to mess up their makeup. It took them 45 minutes to get ready.
Yeah.
And they drove all the way here to sit down in a nice quiet place because they just come to do a little clap and, you know, bow their head every once in a while because they really haven't been that bad. They haven't raped anybody. They haven't been to prison. They haven't broken any laws. They haven't robbed any banks. They haven't been on television for any robbery at McDonald's. They are basically good people. And so worship for them is quiet, sedate, calm, and a sophisticated event. But there are some of us in here this morning who know that if the Lord had dealt with us according to our deeds, if the Lord had judged us according to our sins, if the Lord had held our past against us, we would be in hell right now. And so we can't sit down and act like the Lord just got to have us.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. Has God done anything for you in here today? How many of y'all just want me to sit down? We'll just listen to him the rest of the day. Oh, man. Oh, man. God has done so much for us. We all have our own story. God has saved us in such unique ways. You don't have a story like anybody else. And some of you thought, well, I don't have a story like that, so I don't have anything to say. That's not true. We wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the Lord. Even those of you in the place today that don't follow him, that don't really know, and you're like, I'm just here because so-and-so's here, and this is Thanksgiving, and I'm in town, and they made me come, or something like that. No, no, no. You're not here by accident today. God's calling you. He's drawing you. All of us, whether you were raised in this, or you accidentally stumbled into a relationship, or you just stumbled into church or whatever, God has been calling you. God has been drawing you, and you're here because of him. So I'm here to prod you today a little bit, encourage you today, spur you on a little bit today to go tell it on the mountain. Tell what? Tell what God has done for you in your life. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to have a degree in it. You don't have to, you know, figure out what the ancient prophets dissected and you know, 700 BC. No, 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 no. Just what has God done for you and your life? Acts, the first chapter, says that God's Spirit's going to be with you, and you're going to be witnesses. You don't have to be the judge. You don't have to be the lawyer. You don't have to be the attorney or the jury or anything like that. You're just a witness. This is what God has done for me. Go tell it on the mountain. I want this family of promised land. Our desire is for this family of promised land to be people that are not ashamed of where we've come from, because we give all credit and honor to God. And we're not even ashamed of the blessings. There's some people that have been blessed so much, and you do have money in the bank, and you do have a great job, and you do have kids that are obedient. And that's a miracle, right? The temptation is for us to start taking credit for that and thinking it was because of our hard work, our discipline, luck or chance or happenstance or coincidence. I'm here to tell you today, it wasn't any of that. It was by the grace of Jesus Christ, the grace of God, that you have what you have. You've been given what you've been given. It's time to go tell it on the mountain. What is the mountain? Well, it's different places for different people. I was talking to somebody after the first service today, and she said, my mountain is my mother. She didn't mean that in a negative way. She loves her mom, and her mom's not really trouble to her, but I need to tell my mom. My mom needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Some of you heard me tell about Tom Guyton, who's at our Lockhart campus. And I've mentioned him several times because he has a very unique way of taking sermon notes. He doesn't have pen and paper. He's not adding it into some sort of document onto his phone. Instead, he logs on to Facebook during the sermon. Now, that's dangerous. Most pastors would be freaking out if they knew their people. I know some of y'all on Facebook right now. So let me sanctify your Facebook during church, right? This is what Tom does. Tom said, this is my mountain. Facebook is my mountain. I'm going to declare the good news of Jesus on Facebook. And so what he does is he logs on during the message. He checks in to Promised Land, Lockhart, and he puts the title of the message. And then as I'm speaking, or Pastor Mike, or whoever's speaking, he begins to put the points, the sermon, scriptures, and he's doing this live as the message is going on. And at the end of the message, he's got this post with all these comments of his own. And then other people start commenting, and they start a dialogue, and it just goes from there throughout the week. And I went to Tom and talked to him about this, and he said, I was kind of joking around with him, and he said, actually, I do this because there's some people in my life that would not hear the message any other way. They'll never go to a church. They'll never listen to this. And so he's been doing it for months and months. He's been doing it. And just last week, he let me know that there are now people that are attending at our campus in Lockhart that saw the message on Facebook, and their relationship with God is growing and developing. And thank God for that. Thank you, Tom. Now listen, I know some of y'all out there forwarding stuff. You know, if you don't forward this picture, God's not going to bless you. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? Do not send me those things. Don't send anybody those things. What you need to be posting is what God has done for you and your life, right? Posting things of what God has done for you, how God's impacted you. And if you're here today and you're struggling with this idea, I'm shy, I'm nervous, I don't know what to say, then this is what you need to do. You need to ponder. Ponder. Pondering. Chew on it a little bit. In verse 19 of Luke 2, after the shepherds saw Jesus and after they proclaimed it, it says that Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary kept all these things in her heart, and she thought about them often. That's pondering. And other translations say she pondered them in her heart. What is ponder? I was raised, in the country, and my parents were rednecks, and they would tell me, they would say, a cow chews its cud. It's kind of a disgusting thing. They'll chew it. Chew it, process it, comes back up, they chew it again, process it. This is kind of crass, but that's kind of what this is all about. It's about God has done something for you in your life. You ponder it. You keep pondering it. And if you are tempted or you're possibly going to forget it, don't. If you're possibly going to take credit for yourself, don't. Ponder what God has done for you. I love the fact that Mary kept, it's like a scrapbook. She kept these things close to her because she didn't want to forget it. She didn't want to ever lose what God had done for her in her life. When the angel called Mary and said, Mary, you're going to be the one that's going to birth the Messiah. You're going to conceive a child, not by a human being, not by man, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. She said, she's thinking in her mind, how can this be? I'm just Mary. I'm just, historians believe, theologians believe she was a teenager, so young. She's from Nazareth, and the tradition back then, the saying back then was nothing good comes from Nazareth. Nothing good comes from Nazareth. She's a Nazarene. She's a woman, and yeah, we all know the gender, that was not equal to men. And so if anything big was going to happen, it was going to become, you know, it was going to be a warrior from the palace, a man. This is a baby being born in very humble conditions, laid in a manger, and it's coming from a woman. And there's nothing notable about Mary other than she was chosen by God. That's it. She was chosen by God. That's what made her special and unique. And I'm here to tell you today, there's really nothing unique or special about you other than you've been chosen by God too. And we have to ponder that. We have to think about that. We have to never let that go. If you're trying to achieve your worth by getting a degree or trying to make yourself noteworthy by earning a certain amount of money or having a certain amount of, you know, status, getting elected to a position or being a part of a certain organization at Texas State or whatever. You're trying to achieve those things by what you can accomplish. You're chasing after something that's elusive. You'll never catch it. You may catch it for a minute, you feel satisfied, and then it's going to go away again. The only thing that we have to hold on to that gives us value or worth is the fact that God chose us. As I said earlier, you're here today. You're listening to this today because God is making a move on you. And if you don't know him, if you don't follow him, I'm here to tell you today that he is eager and ready for you to have a good relationship with him. He's done the work that needs to be done for you to have a relationship with God. He's paid the price. He's done everything that's needed to be done. And this is the cry that Mary shouts after she receives that word from the angel. And she makes the decision, yes, I will birth this baby. That's going to cost her so much. It's going to cost her reputation. It's going to change her life forever. The dream she had of her future, totally gone because she's saying yes to this angel. This is what she says. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked upon the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. That is really the cry that all of us have when we understand that God has called us out. He's forgiven us of our sin. He's given us another chance to make it. Thank you, God. Even me, your pastor, has done things that are not right, not holy. I'm only here before you today because God gave me another chance. And he keeps giving me other chances. I am not here to brag on my holiness or what I've done or what I've accomplished. It is only by the grace of God. I have to go tell that on the mountain. It's not because of me. This is all about a submission, a letting go of our pride and our ego and saying yes to him. I would love for you to pray with me right now. Everybody that can hear me, whether you're in the building, in Lockhart, online, wherever, we're going to pray together right now. And And I want to give you a chance to say yes to him. If this is your time where you've been thinking, I've been thinking about Jesus, I've been thinking about following him, being a believer, and you've never done that, or maybe you've fallen away, today's a day to say yes to him. And your path to God, your relationship to God, has totally been taken care of because Jesus was born. He was laid in that manger. He grew up. He lived a sinless life. He did so many phenomenal things. But he ultimately, when he was about 33 years of age, willingly took on the sins of the world, and in an act of complete submission and love for you, paid the price and did the work so that everybody sitting in here today, everybody listening to this message right now, can have a relationship with God, not by making yourself holy or doing all the work that's needed to be like God, but instead by saying yes to Jesus. By saying, Jesus, I believe you did the work for me. I believe you were holy. I believe you were right. I don't understand everything about life, but I trust you, Jesus. You don't have to graduate from a class. You don't have to pay a certain amount of money. You don't even have to join a Promised Land church to be saved. You don't. You just pray this prayer with me right now, and it's a simple words. The words are not complicated at all, but they're transformational. They'll change everything if you really mean this right now. So let's pray together. And then I want to also pray in the same prayer for everybody that does know Jesus but has been silent. It's time to go tell it on the mountain. It's time to proclaim it in your way, with your voice, with your personality, with the message that God has done for you. Lord, I just pray for boldness to come upon every person in this facility, everybody listening to me, everybody in Lockhart. I just pray for a fire to begin to burn as we ponder what you've done for us, as we understand and come into the reality of what you've done for us. Lord, may we go out and proclaim the amazing message on the mountain. May we go forth and just proclaim your good news. And everybody that's in here today that doesn't know Jesus or not in relationship with Jesus, or maybe you just need to rededicate your life, let's just say this. Say, Lord, please forgive me of my sin. Lord, I don't want to live this way any longer. I don't want to live by myself or for myself. Jesus, I want to live for you. I want to be with you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I give you my life. I surrender my heart to you today. And I'm eager to walk with you from this day forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I think we need to hear from Pastor Anderson one more time. Come on. Here we go. Take it away, brother.
That night when in Judean skies, the mystic star dispensed its light, a blind man moved in sleep and dreamed that he had sight. Mm. That night when in the manger lay the sanctified who came to save, a man moved in the sleep of death and dreamed there was no grave. Jesus was born. Go tell it. On the mountain. Over the hills. Everywhere. Tell it in the schoolhouse. Tell it on the playground. Tell it in the line at the supermarket. Tell it in the line when you're getting your driver's license. Tell it on your job. Tell it when you sit down to eat your lunch. Tell it in your office. Tell it in your neighborhood. Tell it to your family. Tell it to your friends. Tell it to your enemies. Tell it to your siblings. Tell it to your mother and father. Tell it. Tell it. Tell it. Tell it. Jesus Christ is born.